Please pray with me. Lord God, here we are. Send us. Amen.
Amen.
In the fall of 2001, I received a letter in the mail from then Bishop Claude Payne. In it, he invited me to a workshop to hear more about holy orders, whatever that was. By reading the rest of the letter, I gleaned that holy orders was the priesthood, since at that time the Diocese of Texas had no vocational deacons. They only had transitional deacons like I've been among your midst the last 6 months, one who is a deacon before transitioning into the priesthood. Needless to say, or perhaps I do need to say, this letter came as a shot out of the blue. The priesthood was not on my radar screen. I had not pined for a life set apart where I must proclaim the gospel from a pulpit, and not just by merely and quite safely trying to live my life in service to God as best I could, as was the model of my parents. As a middle child, I never had the experience of nor the need for the limelight, preferring instead just less prominent positions and roles of service. Why was God sending me this letter? After a few minutes of near hysteria, which is a common reaction when encountering God or God's emissaries, after a few minutes, I began to calm down. Now, God could send me a letter in the mail. I put no limits on the divine. The more frequently God uses human beings to do silly things like put names on mailing lists. So I wondered, who was the idiot that put my name on the bishop's mailing list? After one unproductive call to a priest friend, it dawned on me. It was Tom. Tom put my name on Bishop Payne's mailing list. Sure enough, when I called and began to interrogate him, Tom caved in and confessed. Tom had just finished seminary that spring and was ordained a transitional deacon, awaiting ordination to the priesthood in a few months. More than 4 years earlier, we all scratched our heads when Tom, in his late 50s, began to talk about a call to the priesthood. He was between jobs in the high-tech industry, and at that point in his life, he could have consulted for less than 40 hours a week and raked in a lot of money. Plus, he really hadn't served in any major leadership roles or lay ministerial positions at our parish of St. John the Divine. But after embarking on the formal discernment process of our diocese, it was obvious this was the Lord's doing, and our parish, then the diocese, and the bishop all confirmed Tom's call to the priesthood. So when Tom confessed he gave the bishop my name, I asked him with an irritated voice why he had bothered to do something so ridiculous. And Tom told me he thought I would be a good priest. My response was that he had received a call to the priesthood. I had not. Tom pressed me, asking if I was expecting a Damascus Road experience like Apostle Paul had. And I said, well, yes. I think it needed to be something like that. At least it had to be something better than, well, let me try this priesthood thing, huh? Tom raised the stakes a bit by telling me he had enlisted the support of our rector, Larry Hall, at St. John the Divine. I ended the phone call by saying, I will be seeing Larry in a few days, and I will give him a piece of my mind. When I tried to do that a few days later, Larry just smiled and said he thought I should be looking at the priesthood. He encouraged me to set up an appointment to talk about discerning such a call. So that's how all this began for me. What many people label a call narrative. We see these narratives throughout the Bible. Abram leaving Haran, Jacob wrestling with God on the banks of the Jabbok, Moses in the burning bush, and even our Old Testament reading today where Samuel as a child is called into a life of service as God's prophet, saying in assent, "Here I am," a "here I am" that is echoed centuries later by the prophet Isaiah. In the New Testament, there is first Zechariah and Elizabeth called to be parents of John the Baptist before Mary is approached by the angel Gabriel to be the mother of Jesus. In the Acts of the Apostles, we have the account of Paul's encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And today's gospel is John's account of the calling of the disciples, an event in Jesus' life so important it is included in all four Gospels. These disciples were just regular people. No major rock stars here, just fishermen, a tax collector, and the rest, like Philip and Nathaniel, we know absolutely nothing about, other than they heard and saw something in Jesus and in Jesus' words and actions that caused them to change the path of their lives to follow Jesus, to live for Jesus, and likely to die for Jesus. There is a long biblical tradition of God calling God's people into service, but you know it is an audacious claim, as Episcopal priest Leander Harding describes it. It is audacious that we believe it is possible to hear the voice of God, a voice that is speaking a word of love, of direction, of promise to each of us. But call us, God does. Most of us aren't called to die in God's service, but we do need to develop a discerning heart, an ear for listening to God and God's envoys as we move through the seasons of our lives to detect how it is that God would have us live and have us serve. For it would seem that the calling of us into service is a common action of God's. It seems presumptuous to say this, but God must have need of us. But for what? That is the spiritual work of our lives, to discern how it is that God would have us use our gifts, our time, and our resources in the service of God in this particular time in our lives and in this particular place that we may be in. I thought I was listening carefully to God and discerning God's purpose in my life before I received that letter from Bishop Payne way back in 2001, and I was. I was actively involved in church and ministry outside the church. I felt I was living into what 1 Peter describes as the royal priesthood, the priesthood of all believers, of which our catechism references when describing that the ministers of the church are first lay people, bishops, priests, and deacons, in that order, first lay people, priests, and deacons. You can fact check me on page 855 of the Book of Common Prayer if you want. I had no need to be a priest. I thought I was already living out my call to the priesthood as a layperson. But obviously, God had need of me to be an ordained priest. Back in the fall of 2001, I conveniently forgot that my rector wanted me to talk to him about discerning a call to the priesthood for several months. Finally, right before Christmas, I remembered, and I called to set up an appointment during the downtime following Christmas. Much to my dismay, there was an opening within the next couple of days on Larry Hall's calendar. On the morning of my appointment, I received a call from the receptionist at St. John the Divine. She told me she remembered that I had been a good friend of Tom's, my friend who had just begun to embark on his life of ordained ministry. I told the receptionist I was, And then she began to cry. She told me Tom's wife found him dead on his treadmill that morning. I met with my rector later that day, and we both cried. When I tell people this story of my call, I tell them that Tom did not die to make me become a priest. That's not how God acts. That's not how God works. But that because Tom died, I could no longer just blow Tom off. And I had to deal directly with God on this. And I struggled with this call for 8 long years until eventually circumstances led me to say, I give up to the hound of heaven. The invitation to my ordination on Thursday evening, January 29th, has been in your service leaflet and tidings for the last month. Chuck and Aaron Jean have announced it during services, maybe even trying to shame people into showing up, encouraging your attendance. But don't come to the service because of that. Don't come because you may have heard I was kind to a shut-in or helped someone out who was struggling. Don't come because I seem to preach okay, or I seem to be a nice person. If you are able to come, come to give your assent as the people of God to my ordination as priest, agreeing to support me in this ministry through your ministries. Come because you recognize that if I am called by God into a particular service, you too are called into a particular service by God. Come so that you can be reminded of and recalled to your own vocation in the service of Christ. Amen.